Yes?
Okay.
Can't be seen before I get up preach, so I better take a drink of water.
Rush out of the COVID.
Well, it is good to be here. Appreciate the invitation to preach, and do appreciate Brother Graber and the fellowship. He's always looking out for me. He's asking me how I'm doing, and he's letting me know he's praying for me, and he's a blessing. He's a blessing, and I do appreciate him. So, but it is good to be here, and we're glad we have some of our folks from Cadillac here with us. Appreciate them being here. We're going to be in Psalm 107. As you're turning there, do pray for my wife. She's been struggling with lupus in the last year or so, and so she's been struggling with that and going through a lot of pain lately. So, if you would keep her in your prayers, I'd appreciate that. All right. Psalm 107 and verses 23 down through 31. It says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And our subject today from these verses is to see Jesus in the midst of the storm. Of course, seeing Jesus in the midst of the storm is the overall theme of the conference. But in particularly, we want to focus on the aspect of to see Jesus in the storm. In other words, that every storm has that purpose. Ultimately, that we would see Jesus.
Yes.
Ultimately, that is the purpose of every storm. We understand that God is sovereign. God is in control. God brings everything into our lives. Nothing comes into our lives without his say-so. And so we need to be able to comprehend and see and understand that in every storm that we are to see Jesus in those storms. But I would like to pray once more before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for all you do for us. We thank you for who you are, first of all, and that it has pleased you to call us into a saving relationship with your Son, those of us that are saved. And Father, we pray for those that are not yet saved, that you would draw them, that you would call them to Jesus, that they would, Father, that you would trouble their lives, that you would bring them into a great storm. And Father, that it would bring them to the end of themselves, they'd come to their wits' end, and that they would cry out to you in their trouble, and that you would save them. Father, we just pray that you would bless us tonight with this afternoon with your presence. Father, pray that you would help me. Father, that you would hold me up in all my weakness and insufficiency. And Father, in spite of me, that you'd bless your people. Father, that you take your word, that you'd glorify yourself by it. And Father, that you would just give each and every one of us the things we need this afternoon. Father, that you wouldn't pass over one of us, that you would work on us, Lord, and that you would, and that we would just know that we've been in your presence this afternoon. Father, we pray for your help, and we ask for your blessings, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, to see Jesus in the storm. The purpose of God in all things is to make himself known. That is, all that God does has a purpose for his eternal glory. The storms reveal the glory of God in fearful power and in gentle mercy. And nothing more clearly makes God's glory known to us than the person of Jesus Christ. And so when the storms of life bring us to the end of ourselves and bring us to Jesus, they have fulfilled God's purpose for them in our lives. Ultimately then, after going through a number of storms, and each and every time being brought safely through by Jesus, we learn to look for Jesus in the storm. to expect and anticipate His presence, and to praise God with thankful hearts for the storms that brought us closer to Jesus. And as we, hopefully as we progress through the thoughts in this psalm, we'll see that ultimately that's where we that's where every storm brings us, is a little closer to Jesus. And ultimately we get to the place where we begin to anticipate it. We're no more, oh no, the storm is going to sink me. Oh no, we're going to perish. But rather, no, I'm going to see Jesus once again. Amen. He's going to come meet with me once again. He's going to come to my rescue once again. He always does. He always has. He never fails. Wow. And we begin to anticipate then Jesus in the storm. We begin to look for Him in the storm. And rather than the storm sinking us and getting us down, we're looking for Jesus, you see. And when we begin to anticipate Him, then we're coming to this place where, you know, each storm brings us, and this is ultimately where God wants us to be, thankful and praising Him and giving Him the glory, even for the storms, because every one of those things brings us closer and closer to Him. But so to see Jesus in the storm, this is what we want to talk about. But first of all, then number one, there's no better place to see the works and wonders of Jesus than in places like the sea. Let's look here in verse 23 again in that psalm. Verses 23 and 24, it says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." Huh. You know, sometimes the Lord brings us into deep waters, where it's over our head to see Him better. Places that are too great for us, great waters. It's too much for me. It's too deep for me. It's too far for me. I can't handle this, Lord. Well, you know, in those places, we see Him best. In those places, we experience His power and His work in our life, and we know our weakness, and we know His greatness and sufficiency, and He lifts us up. He gives us everything we need, but that's where we're going to see the Lord best, is in those deep waters, in places like the sea. But there's no better place to see the works and wonders of Jesus than in places like the sea. In places too great for us, in places too deep, we're humbled. Yes. And we truly see our utter dependence upon God. Doing business in the great waters of the sea is very much like serving the Lord in the great harvest of the Great Commission. It's a work that, like the sea, spans the globe and reaches to every land. And like the sea, its spiritual depths are beyond our full comprehension. And yet God calls us to do business in things too great and in depths too deep for us. I mean, the work of the Lord. Wow. Amen. I mean, you know, witnessing to people, talking to people about the things of God. How can you do that except the Lord holds you up? I mean, He's got to put the words in your mouth. He's got to be there with you. And if you haven't learned that yet, then I don't know. But listen. That's a spiritual work. It's a great work. It's too big for us. It's too deep for us. It's too much for us. And we are utterly dependent upon the Lord in those situations. And we know what it is to try those things in our own strength and fail. And we know what it is to be held up by the Lord and to be blessed and carried. But this is very much like doing business in the sea. Those that do business there often know better than most the works and wonders of Jesus. Because time and again they have been faced with their own weakness, their own insufficiency. I mean, man, being a preacher, we're doing business on the great waters. We're in great waters, in depths, spiritual depths. And there's no way unless the Lord holds you up. Unless the Lord is your sufficiency, unless He gives you everything you need, there's just no way. It's too much. These are great waters, but we understand. A person understands well that does business in the sea. They understand their dependence upon the Lord. But time and again, they've been faced with their own weaknesses, their own insufficiencies, and yet Jesus was their strength. And Jesus was their sufficiency. And they have learned that in the calm seas and in the stormy seas, to constantly depend on Jesus. How foolish it would be not to depend upon the Lord in the calm seas. I mean, you know that you're just asking for trouble. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You get to thinking, oh, I've got this all figured out. You know, it's just smooth sailing. You know that you're heading for trouble. You know you're heading for a storm. But those that, when we're doing business in the things of the Lord, and we've spent some time there, it'll humble us. And it'll make us dependent upon the Lord. But it'll also give us a sense of strength and confidence in the Lord. We'll know that he's going to be with us. We'll know that in the calms and in the storms, that he's going to be there. And he's going to take care of us. Okay? The second thing then, God sends the storms. Amen. There really isn't anything much more comforting than that in a storm. To know that that storm didn't come to your life by chance or by accident. That storm came to you by the sovereign hand of God. That he designed that storm just for you. And that he's going to do a work in you by that storm. And there's going to be a purpose in that work. But he sends those storms. But verses 25 through 28 there, let's read those in that psalm. It says, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof." I mean, so that storm, they were out there and it was smooth sailing. But all at once, the wind came up and the waves came up and they were in a storm. And where did it come from? God sent the storm. God sent them into the storm and he sent the storm. But he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. But God sends the storms. Here again, there and again in verse 25, "For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof." Here is the fear of the Lord. And here is great comfort. For the lost person, nothing is more dreadful than the power of God to send the storms into your life. But to the trusting child of God, there's no greater comfort than to know that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's comfort in the power of God. What comfort there is. The more we comprehend that the storms cannot come but by the good hand of God, the more peace we will have in the midst of them. I mean, the more we understand that the sovereignty of God and sending the storms, yes, the more peace, the more comfort. I mean, sure. One of the most tormenting things is the what ifs in life and the idea that what if I'd have done this, or what if I'd have done that, or what if I'd have went here, what if I'd have made this decision, or you know, and that'll just cause you to worry and fret and just cause your insides to be in a storm. But there's such comfort, there's such peace, there's such rest in knowing that that God sent the storm, and that he has a purpose in your life for that storm. But the more we comprehend that the storms cannot come but by God's hand, the more peace we have in the midst of them. And like Jesus, rather than the storm troubling us, it will rock us to sleep. You know, we read in the New Testament accounts, here he was, the ship's getting ready to sink, and where's Jesus? He's asleep. You talk about perfect peace. He understood perfectly the sovereignty of God, obviously. He understood perfectly how things are working out. The disciples, they're all worried. They knew they were going to die. Jesus is asleep, perfectly at peace in the will of God.
Right.
Perfectly at peace in the will of God. And the more we comprehend that, that's how there is peace. When, you know, we don't enjoy storms. We don't enjoy difficulty. We don't enjoy, as we heard earlier today, we don't enjoy those manifold temptations. But you know what? God sends each and every one of them. And he has a purpose for each and every one of them. And the grace we heard about, the manifold grace that comes with the storms,
amen,
he sends those things. God's distributing all of that. He's distributing the manifold temptations, the storms, and he's distributing the grace sufficient. And if we can rest in that, oh, what rest there is, what rest there is, what comfort there is, what peace there is. But he sends the storms, and so we'll be at peace. And while those around us are fretting and faithless and fearful, we will have sweet peace in the sovereignty of God. And God has a purpose in every storm. He's working on us. They have a purpose. They do a work. They're meant to do a work. And obviously, the quicker we are to understand that, you know, hopefully the quicker we'll be able to, you know, pass through the storm. If we're praying and we understand, Lord, I know you want me to learn something through this. Lord, I know you want me to, I know you're working on me. Lord, show me what it is. Lord, cause me to be submitted to your will. Lord, help me to find out and understand what it is you want me to learn. When we understand that, obviously that's going to help as well. But God has a purpose in every storm. As we see there again in verses 26 down through 28 there, it says they mount up to heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. God did that on purpose. He wants to melt us. Sometimes we get hard. Sometimes we need to be melted. Sometimes we need to be we need to be humbled, made tender and pliable. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. A lot of times we're too dependent upon ourselves and our own strength and our own way. And the storms cause us to come to the place where we're at our wits' end. We say, Lord, my only hope is you. And that's the purpose.
Amen.
Being totally dependent upon the Lord. And there in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to depend upon him. The troubles are meant for us to look to him, to depend upon him, to call out to him, and to find all of our sufficiency in him. That's what the storm's meant to do. Bring us to him. But God has a purpose in every storm. As we said in the beginning, every storm has a purpose of God's glory in our lives. Every storm to the child of God has a purpose of teaching us more about God and bringing us closer to Jesus. Let's read Romans 8, 28, 29. No doubt they're very familiar scriptures, but we want to read there. Romans 8, 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, the storms of life are part of the all things. The all things. It's not all good things. It's all things. It's all things. And God brings all, he works together all those things. The storms, the difficulties, the trials, the struggles, the pain, the tears. I mean, he works it all together. He is conforming us ultimately to the image of his Son. This is that predestinated end he has for every one of his children. And he is working in our lives. And he is shaping us and molding us and conforming us more and more to the image of his Son. And so every storm has a purpose to this end, to bring us closer to Christ, to conform us more and more to the image of his Son. And so we need to understand that they have that purpose. The storms are designed by God to melt us, to stagger us, to bring us to our wit's end, to take away every hope in self and in every other thing and leave us with hope in God alone. That's what the storms are meant to do. Then after that storm has done its work, we cry out to the Lord, and he brings us out of our distresses. We look to the Lord and are saved, as in Isaiah 45, 22. We call upon the name of the Lord, as in Romans 10, 13. We see ourselves in the light of the storm as poor, helpless sinners, whose only hope is God, and we cry out to God, who saves us from all our troubles. Let's look in Psalm 34 for a minute. Psalm 34 and verse 6. Psalm 34, verse 6, it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Yeah, see, that's what the storm's meant to do. Bring you to your wit's end, where you realize your poverty, where you realize your need, where you realize your weakness, where you realize, I don't have anything but you, Lord, and I need you, and I need you. And this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He bringeth them out of their distresses, it says in our psalm. And this is what, this is one of the purposes of the storm, to bring us to that place where we look to God and we look to Him alone.
Amen.
The next thing we want to consider from our psalm there, Psalm 107, verse 29 and 30. It says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." That's that part we like. We like the calm. We like that. That's what we're trying to get to. But we're not going to get there till the work's done. The Lord's going to work on us first. When the work's done, when we're brought to that place where we need to be, when we cry out to Him in that place where we need to be, He's going to bring us out of our troubles. He's going to bring us out of our distresses. And then it's going to be a calm. But He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Just a thought come to my mind, but you know what the storm has a tendency to do in your life? It just focuses you on the Lord. And all of those little things that we're always kind of scurrying after in life. We're always, well, I think I need this and I think I need that. And I have this I need to do and I have this I need to take care of. And all these little things, they just go, and it's just the Lord. I just need you, Lord. I just need you to rescue me from this storm. I mean, they're just, it's real simple. We're real focused on Him. I know a lot of you remember when my son Wyatt was born. That was a storm. That was a storm in our life, you know, we spent 71 days in the NICU with him. But in that time, all these little things that you think you need, you think you want, they're gone. You don't care about any of that stuff. It's just you and the Lord and in the storm. And there's so much grace there in that storm. There is a sweetness there, and there are blessings there that you can't learn in any other situation in life. You learn to depend upon the Lord, and you're sustained by His grace, and you could never understand that except that you went through that storm. And He wanted you to know that. He wanted you to understand that. He wanted you to know that grace sufficient. He wanted you to know that about Himself. And He specially taught you that in that storm. But when He's done the work, He calms the storms. The same God who sends the storm and sends us into the storm calms the storm again and makes us glad when the work in our souls has been accomplished, when the storm has caused us to look to Jesus. I mean, ultimately, again, every storm, Jesus is the focal point for us. Every storm, that's what it's meant to do. Bring us closer to Him. Take the focus of our lives off of the things of this life and redirect them. Focusing on Jesus. That's ultimately what every storm is meant to do. We get our eyes off Jesus, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And you know what? The Lord is faithful. He's not going to let us wander off in that. He's going to bring us back. A lot of times He uses a storm to do just that. But Matthew chapter 8. I don't know if anyone's been to this scripture yet, but Matthew chapter 8 in the verse 23. It says, "When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And this is what the storms are meant to do. Cause us to focus on Jesus. Cause us to say, What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? Where this is what the storm... What do you think that storm was meant to do? That's what it was meant to do. It was meant to cause them to wonder at Jesus. It was meant to cause them to just be amazed and understand more about Jesus. They knew more about Jesus that day than they had before. They had not at that point understood that the fact that, you know, how far the... You know, they may have had glimmers of the deity of Christ, obviously, but they knew better that day than any day before that who Jesus was. Amen. What manner of man is this? In other words, this is God. We're in the presence of God. He commands the winds and the waves, and only God can do that. They understood that, you see. Amen. That's what the storms do. They give us more understanding of God. They cause us to see Him better. Understand better His power. Understand better the reality of God in our lives. And obviously the focal point of that is Jesus. Amen. The focal point of that is Jesus. And we behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And the storms cause us to focus on the one that we should have been looking at all along. And so we understand Him better. We know Him better. And we're nearer to Him than we were. Than before the storm. But again, ultimately, this is the purpose of every storm for the child of God, to see the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, to confess again and again with amazement, what manner of man is this, that everything obeys Him. Not only the wind and the waves, but all things bow and bend and break at the voice of Jesus, our Lord and our God. And in every fresh revelation of the glory of God in Jesus, peace and gladness with worship is ministered to our souls. Isn't that what it causes us to do? It causes us to bow and to... There's rest, there's comfort, there's peace, there's glorying in God, and there's worship. You worship God in those times. You worship God as He brings you through the storms and you see Him better, you understand Him better. You're glorying in Him and you worship Him. You say, what manner of man is this? That's worship being expressed. We're humbled and we say, what manner of man is this? And this is what the storms are meant to do. All right, let's go look in a little further in our psalm in verse 30. Psalm 107, verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired end. I mean, we see more of the sovereignty of God here. We see more of the providence of God here. God bringeth them unto their desired end. They didn't just happen to arrive. Whew, that was lucky. No. Whew, made it through the storm. That was lucky. No. God brought the storm. He brought him into trouble. He worked on him in that. And you know what? He brought him out of the trouble. And He brought him to where He wanted him to be. He brought him to that desired haven. It's interesting. No, it's where they wanted to go. They were planning to get there. This is where we want to end up. But they didn't know they were going to have to go through a storm to get there. And this is a lot of times it is in our lives. We know where we want to go. We've got plans. We're planning to get here. But we didn't know the storm was going to happen along the way. God did. Amen. God made the storm. And he brought us right into the storm. And He brought us right through the storm. And He brought us to the desired haven. But the desired haven is reached then. At long last, the storm is over. And we are brought by God to the haven we set out for. We have reached our desired destination. But we are not the same person as we were before our journey began. We have learned many things about God, both in fear and mercy. We have seen many works and wonders in the storm and in the calm. We have reached the desired haven, and God has reached into our souls. By His providence, we have arrived safely. By his grace, we have learned more of the truth of Romans 8, 28 and 29 than we understood before. We have experienced more of the all things that have brought us closer to Jesus. And another leg of our race is accomplished. We are that much closer to the end of our earthly pilgrimage and our heavenly homecoming. Every storm brings you a little closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Every storm brings you a little closer to home. Just another haven, you know, there's another storm in another haven, and we're a little closer to Jesus. We're a little closer to going home. And listen, this is where we're headed. And we're reaching the desired haven. And ultimately we're gonna reach that final haven of rest. We're gonna reach there and we're gonna be forever with the Lord. But you know what? It isn't just gonna happen. The Lord's gonna bring us there. He's gonna bring us all the way. He's not going to lose you. He's not going to leave you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to take you through every storm. He's not going to let you go alone. He's always going to be with you. He's always going to be taking care of you. He's always going to be directing you right to the desired haven. Right to where he wants you to be in life. And he's going to bring you all the way to that Romans 8:29 verse. Conformed to the image of Christ. That's where you're headed as a child of God. Nothing is going to stand in the way of that. And God is orchestrating all that perfectly. Working those all things together, bringing you to that desired destination. So verse 31 there in the psalm, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." You notice if you read through this Psalm 107 before, you'll notice that there are these different situations that God brought his people out of. And they cried to him in different situations, caused them to cry out to him. He delivered them. And the theme that runs through is that they should praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. We're to recognize God in the storms. We're to recognize his goodness in the storms. We're to recognize his wonderful work in our life in the storms. You see? And so we're to comprehend that, and we're to be thankful people. We're to be people of praise. And this is something, obviously, we learn the more storms we go through.
Yep.
As we grow, you know, you don't start out like that, you know. We go through a lot of storms in life. We go through a lot of things, and we learn and we grow. And we realize, you know what? God's always taking care of me, and he's always delivering me. And you know what? I'm looking forward to Jesus coming to my aid again. I'm looking forward to what God's doing in my life. But we learn to see Jesus in the storm. So finally, after many storms, we learn to look for Jesus in the storms. We learn that the storm can't come but by Jesus, and that in every storm, Jesus is near, and we shall soon see his glory again. And when we learn this about all the storms and trials of life, we will learn to praise God and even be thankful for the storms he sends into our lives. And that sounds strange to us, doesn't it? But listen, we're to be a thankful people in all things. And as we understand that all things work together for good, we can be thankful and we can praise God, you know. We can look back and see the things he did in our life. I mean, I'm sure you can look back on storms. I'm sure you can look back and say, that storm was no fun. That was not pleasant at all, but I am so thankful for what God did in my life during that storm. I'm so thankful for what God brought me through. I'm so thankful for what he taught me about himself. I'm so thankful for that grace that I learned about during that time. I'm sure that you can look back. We need to look forward at the same perspective. We need to look forward to see, to know that Jesus is going to be there in the storm, just like he's been in all the storms back there. We need to be able to look forward and be thankful. Look forward and praise the Lord, because he's going to be there. And he's going to bless us just like he always has. And this, when we get there, we're getting to the place where we need to be, as you know, in Christian maturity. We're learning to understand that God is really working all things together for good. And we're learning to thank God and praise God even for the storms that come in life. 1 Thessalonians, we'll read a scripture there. First Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 18. says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, this is God's will for his people, that we be a thankful people. That if we comprehend his sovereign hand in our lives, if we comprehend his working together all things for good in our lives, that he's bringing us to that, to conforming us to the image of his Son. If we understand, if we can submit to the will of God in our lives, then we can be thankful. We can be thankful in all things. But this is the will of God, that we be a thankful people. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. Now, obviously, we heard a little bit about the beginning of Paul today. We heard about when he was a persecutor, and then when he, began to be saved. But Paul, he went through a lot of storms. I mean, literally. How many times was he shipwrecked? Like 3 times? I mean, he went through all kinds of storms. I mean, spiritual storms and physical storms. I mean, there wasn't... it'd be hard to compare with someone that suffered as much as Paul. I mean, but he did business in the great waters, didn't he? I mean, both spiritual and physical. We can read in Acts where that one of the storms he went through. I mean, but the storms he endured. But listen... He got to the place where he was thankful to know his own weakness, because he knew that in those times, that's when the strength of Christ, that's when the power of Christ held him up. And that's the thing. When we get to that place where we realize that in the storm, I'm going to know the strength of God like in no other time. I'm going to know his grace like in no other time. But let's read these verses here. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Listen, is that good enough for us in the storms? Is that good enough for us? My grace is sufficient for thee. Can you be satisfied with that? Are you able to be thankful in the storms? And have that promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's hard. That's difficult sometimes, isn't it? But we need to be satisfied. We need to be thankful. We need to praise God. And we need to be happy for his grace sufficient in the storms. But he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Look at that. He goes from at first I want to get rid of this thing to the grace of God is so good. And I'm so blessed and Jesus is so near that I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, that's what the storms teach us. They teach us our weakness and they teach us his strength. And they cause us to look to him, and they cause us to get to the place where we rejoice, where we can rejoice even in storms, because we know the sweetness of the grace of God, and we know the blessings of the strength of Christ holding us up. And so we'll bring it to a conclusion. Every storm is from God and for his glory. Every storm has a purpose that God is accomplishing in our lives that teaches us to look to Jesus more and that brings us closer to him. And when we, by God's grace, learn to see Jesus in the storm, we will praise God and truly be able to be thankful even for the storms of life. And so may God help us to remember the storms and the deliverances and with grateful hearts to praise him for his goodness and his wonderful works in our lives.
When he says, in conclusion, he means it. I was settled in for another few minutes.